Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open the Word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we can have, Father, greater understanding and more knowledge of your word and the wisdom to use it, Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout the study this evening, and I'm asking this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Colossians, the second chapter. Verse 1. I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. You know, in the starting there, those two verses can also be used that their minds may be strengthened by being lovingly instructed and so obtain all the wealth of assurance that comes from proper spiritual understanding, and more precisely, to obtain a mature knowledge of God's mystery about Christ. You know, the Colossians' minds needs to be instructed in the truth to safeguard them against the circulating heresy. You know, now, if we take their name, Colossians, out of that, and put ours in, and begin to live as they are told to live, because this is meant not only for them, for all that will accept the Lord Jesus Christ down through until the end when he comes back for his church. You know, that's the thing about the New Testament. Because it is wrote to churches of that day and time, and about the troubles and all that they face. But you and I are facing the same kind of problems today. And some that's even a little worse than some they face. And things will be getting worse yet for you and I. Now, here in verse 3, he says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This head does not mean unknown, for not all these treasures of wisdom and knowledge are unknown to man, as chapter 1 and verse 26 clearly shows. But his head, being head, signifies laid up, stored away, or reserved. Christ then is the source from with which all wisdom and knowledge comes. It has been laid up. It was laid up for a long time. But it had been known, yes. A lot of it was known. But it was being laid up and reserved for our day and time that was coming. Now it's here. And been here now for a little over 2,000 years. Here in verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. This word beguile means to deceive. Well, we got a lot of that going on, don't we? Out here, a lot of teaching that is deceiving mankind into believing that he's all right and got heaven made his home when he is sitting in some of the assemblies just as lost as he can be. And unless the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him and gets him out of those places, he's going to find that he is in a lot of trouble. This is what is happening. Now, 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now, Paul is letting them know that he is there with them, even though he's not there physically. But spiritually, he is there, and they are always on his mind and in his prayers, just like we are to do today. And as we do, we keep each other in our prayers. We keep our government, our nation, and our churches in our prayers, and others that are overseas, and God's people, Israel and Jerusalem, are always on our minds, in our hearts, and in our prayers. And this is what Paul is letting them know and to understand. Now, 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You know, therefore, just as he's telling them, just as you accepted the teaching that presents Jesus as both Messiah and Lord, so continue to maintain this relationship with him, and that they had been taught that Jesus is the Messiah, the one divinely anointed to secure man's salvation, and the Lord, the divine person to whom man submits in obedience. The heretics denied Jesus, atoning death and lordship, so the Colossians are urged to keep him just as they were initially taught, as Messiah and Lord. They are to continue to look to him for salvation and continue in submission to his authority. Because you see, there is no other way for mankind to enter into the family of Almighty God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the door. He is the way and the only way for man to have salvation and to be able to step out of this life and into the next life to be with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout eternity. Now, in verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You see, that's something else that a lot of those even that call themselves children of God forget. They forget to go to God in prayer. Go to our Heavenly Father and give him praise and thanksgiving for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the faith that we have and have in him. You see, but we are to be thankful. Now, but you'd be surprised how many never thinks about that. Now, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, he's talking about spoil. Could also be rendered to carry you away from the truth by false teaching. Rudiments of the world are elementary religious teaching coming from the world system. And the Greek grammar suggests that the peculiar philosophy in view here is vain deceit. Not all philosophy then is bad when presented in a God-centered way. It can be helpful to believers. But we have to be very careful about philosophy. Most of it we need to just leave alone. Stay away from. When we walk in the Spirit and in faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will know what to accept and what not to accept in the ways that mankind will come to talk with us. We'll know whether God is with them or whether they are coming with Satan himself. Now, because you see, we will deal with that more than we will deal with others that will sit down and talk with us in the Spirit of the Lord. Because there is more out there today in this world that are lost. And they will try everything they can try to drag you away from the Lord your God. I went today to the nursing home, and I stopped by the table of ladies, that every time I go down there, that's the first table I pass when I go through the door. And they always speak to me and all. Today when I went in, one of them's daughter was there visiting with her mother. And her mother asked me, said, "I thought you was preaching this morning." I told her, I said, "I did." I told her, I said, "And I'll be preaching again this evening." Her teaching, I told her, I said, "Right now, we are having Bible study. We're going through the Bible." And her daughter looked up at me and said, "You know, I'd just turn you off." I told her, I said, "Well, you're not the only one." And I told her, I said, "But why would you turn me off? I just don't listen to things that way. I get tired." I told her, I said, "But you know, one day you're going to stand before him, and you're going to wish you hadn't have been so tired, and that you had spent more time with him." And she just looked at me and turned her head. Now, but anyway, verse 9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." This word for that he starts with there in verse 9 verifies the assertion in verse 8 that the heretics and the philosophy is in accord with the tradition of men and not with Christ, or in line with Christian doctrine. This is done by stating that the whole of the divine nature, all the fullness of the Godhead, dwells in Jesus bodily form. And this refutes the Colossians' hearsay denying the Son's full deity and that he possesses a body that could die and make atonement for sin. And you see, it is hard to get man to accept these things, and it's getting harder each and every day to get them to accept the idea that we are walking on this earth, and once we become a child of the living God, we have that deity living in us. It's alive in us. That's what gives us the power and the authority and all and the faith to be able to do the things that God will call upon us to do. But they don't want to hear this. And you can't get them to understand this, because they say, yeah, but you've got to die. You mean that's going to die with you? No, because number one, you are not going to die. This body will go back to dirt. But you are going to go on into eternity and go to wherever you are going to spend eternity. The only one that will have any change made are those that, when they step out of this life, end up going to hell. There'll be another change for them, because you see, at the end of the Lord coming back to earth and setting up his 1,000-year millennial reign here on this earth, at the end of that 1,000 years, there'll be what the Bible is calling the Great White Throne Judgment. And at that Great White Throne Judgment, all that is not found to be the children of Almighty God, hell, Satan, and his demons and all, will be cast into a lake of fire that will burn forever. And they will face that punishment forever. Is that really what you want? I don't. But I can only speak for me. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. You see, we are complete in him when we become born again, and when we have been sealed and anointed with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We are filled by him. And believers have been filled by Jesus with all the spiritual blessing they need. And henceforth, you know, they are complete and lacking nothing. This, too, refutes the heresy that denied the sufficiency of Christ and encouraged Christians to look to other spiritual beings for help. And you know, there are even other blessings. Five of these blessings with which believers have been filled are listed in verses 11 through 15. They are spiritual circumcision, being raised from the old life, new life, the removal of the curse of the law, and the conquering of Satan and his demonic forces. Those are things that you and I are getting when we are anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. But to do that, we have to become his completely. We have really given him our lives, and we have asked him to come and live through us, that our lives are his. And then we become his mouth, his mind, his voice, his arms, his feet and legs, and all for him to move on this earth today. Think about these things. It's all in His Word. We've been reading it here in the last several days. All about this. Now, 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and you're putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You see, the Judaizers that were following Paul and was telling the people that they needed also to be circumcised, they was trying to get them to be circumcised in the flesh. They were talking strictly to the men to get them to do that for religious reasons, which would make them have to continue to keep the law. Because when you obey the law in one point, religious-wise, you are to keep it all. Well, they couldn't do it. They wasn't doing it. But what would make you think you can? You can't. And that's why the Lord came and died to give us a way. The circumcision Paul was talking about here in verse 11 is the circumcision of the heart. Circumcision made without hands. And that's when we become born again. That heart has been cleansed. That old man has been cut out. He is not there any longer. He's been replaced by the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God and the Holy Spirit. Now, 12. Buried with him in baptism. You've heard me preach that, and so many wants to claim another way, and it meaning something else. But you see what it's telling you even here? This is not the strongest place even for this. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. You see, as you are baptized, you're being buried. You're putting on his death, being buried with him, and being raised with him in his resurrection. And you are coming into new life. Now, 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. God has given us a new spiritual life. And he has forgiven us all of our sins. Think about it. Ain't that what you really want? Ain't that what we really need? It was what I needed. Now, 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took us out of the way, nailing it to his cross. The handwriting of ordinances. in secular literature, this handwriting was an IOU signed by the debtor. Here it might be paraphrased, a certificate of debt consisting of decrees. This refers to the Mosaic law which the Jews had contracted to obey, and to which Gentiles by conscience were obligated owing to man's inability to fulfill this obligation of obedience. He was therefore indebted to God, but through Christ this debt was graciously blotted out. And that law, the Mosaic law, was fulfilled by the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came back to this earth to be with mankind and to be available for all men, what a blessing. What a blessing. And what a gift God had given to mankind. And having full principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You know, having full principles and powers, by the cross God disarmed and despaired Satan and all his demonic horde of the power. And sway with which they formerly gripped the Colossians. By this statement, Paul might well have asked the Colossians, for the Colossians, how can you give ear to any doctrine advocating angel worship when they are all subject to God? But you see, they was doing that. They were Gentiles, and they was worshiping all kinds of idols and different gods. But there's only one God. And that's the God of creation. That's God Almighty. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days. 16, therefore, that word therefore he's using draws on chapter 2 and verse 14. Since God was annulled or has annulled the law, the Colossians are to let no man judge you regarding your dietary matters, what you eat or what you drink, or regarding religious calendar observations. Because you see, that had all been fulfilled in my younger days. All your churches had their services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But was that really enough? Not according to the Word of God. But that was something that had to be between them and God. And now they have even grown weaker and colder And most of your churches today are only holding one service a week, Sunday morning. Yet, we know that when the churches were established by the apostles and by the Holy Spirit, their work was every day. And we are told in God's Word to worship God every day, to study His Word every day. What better place to do that than to do that as an assembly, as part of His church? Now, as we 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And yes, that body, the church, is of Christ. And He is the head of it. And that's the only church that we really need to worry about, other than the church we are in, doing everything that we can with it and with our assembly to keep it according to the Word of God, always lifting it up. Now, 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, in worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. 19. And not holding the hand from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourished, ministered, and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Now, you know, He's letting you and I know there, this holding, this word holding he's using there in 19 means to hold fast to someone so as to remain united with him. The head is Christ. Thus not holding the head reveals that the local heretics possess no relationship with Christ. They were not themselves true Christians. As the head of Christ, so the body is figuratively represented to be the church, and the joints and bands are by implication implicating the individual believers within the church. Having nourishment, ministered, and knit together means being supported and united from Christ, the head. Then the church, which is the body, derives spiritual growth as it is supported and united by the various ministering believers in the assembly. You see, we all need to be doing everything we can for the assembly in which we associate to help build it into being what it needs to be, and bringing in others to worship with us. But so many don't. They sit on the sidelines and do nothing. Now, you'll find they'll not receive any rewards. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Now, if you be dead, or since you died, Paul's expression to die, figuratively means to be free from something that from which the Colossians had been freed in the rudiments of the world, that is, from the elementary religious teachings espousing salvation by merit and good works. And since the gospel has freed the believers from attempting to gain heaven by self-effort, he should never subject himself again to such legalistic ordinances. In other words, he's letting us know there that we cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot work our way to become a child of God. We do the work because we are a child of God, and we are working to help others to become what God given and made of us. Because we stand in the love of Almighty God and with His love for those that are lost, knowing where they will be going if they do not come out of darkness and come to the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch not, taste not, and handle not. Oh, boy. These three prohibitions are examples of Paul's heretical teaching to which the Colossians were about to submit. They were to abstain from certain foods and drinks. Legalism is largely negative in nature. Christianity is nicely balanced, containing both negative and positive aspects. You know, we're not this legalistic religion, but we are to walk in the Spirit of Almighty God and in His Word and in the obedience of His Word. And we do that through Him as we are guided by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, 22, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Now, we're told that they are to perish with the using, so it is foolish to base one's eternal salvation on abstinence from temporary things like food. And we all know that they are those out there do this very thing. That they abstain from certain foods at certain times and all of this. And we're to leave that alone. The last verse, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and the neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, you know, the apostle here concedes that legalism is outward impressive, but he denies the ability to harness the sensual appetite of man's sinful nature, flesh. Don't look to the flesh. because the flesh can get you in trouble. Walk in the Spirit of Almighty God. And don't do the things that a lot of this flesh is going to call upon you to do. Let the Spirit control the flesh, not the flesh control the Spirit. And that's what Paul is letting us know. All right. We have come to the end of chapter 2 now. God willing, come morning, maybe we can be in chapter 3. And more in the Spirit of Almighty God than we are today. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again as we close your word, Father, we thank you for that word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you for these times of our study of thy word. And with the Holy Spirit as our guide, as the one that gives us the knowledge that we need so that we can walk as your child. Now, Father, we also pray for Israel and Jerusalem, praying for peace for them, but Father, even more so praying for them all to come out from under the Mosaic law and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that Israel will become one day known as the land of Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that we are walking in today, that is filled with so much evil, help us, Father, to remove those in high places that has brought this evil upon this land, and to replace them with those, Father, that are walking in righteousness, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church, and loves this country, and that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I now pray for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for Amy, for her husband Tom, her son Jacob, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, James Taylor, for my wife, myself. And Father, I pray for Courtney and Shane, this young couple that is standing in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that they, with the Holy Spirit, will come out from darkness and into the light, and that light being Jesus, and that they too can be on their way of making heaven their home. Now, Father, keep us all through this night in health, in safety, give us rest, and bring us back together in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. And Father, to give you praise, to give you thanks for everything that we have. Be with our families now, Father. We all have family members that are lost. We pray that the Holy Spirit will work with them. We can lead them, Father, to a point of understanding and knowing that they need something more than themselves. They need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, and that they will go to him and repent and start on that journey of making heaven their home. Father, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a great, great evening. Good evening.